It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Concrete is one of the most commonly manufactured materials on Earth, with roughly 30 billion tons used every year for the world's buildings, roads, and bridges.
But this comes with an environmental cost. Cement is part of the concrete mix. The International Energy Agency says reducing carbon emissions while producing enough cement to meet global demand, that will be challenging.
A new research center at UW-Milwaukee is focused on reducing the environmental impact of concrete and developing a more resilient building material.
Konstantin Sobolev is director of the Concrete Advancement Network and a professor of civil and environmental engineering at UW-Milwaukee. Konstantin, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you. Thank you.
Why is concrete such a major contributor to carbon emissions?
Well, it's a good question. I think the answer is that we use concrete in such enormous quantities. And by itself, if we compare concrete to other materials per ton of their volume base, you will see that it is actually one of the least contributors in the list. But the question is, concrete is number one man-made material which we use for our enormous infrastructure. So this is why when it's even like small emissions are multiplied by the volumes we are using, this gives you such a number which is of concern.
Remind us, what is a basic recipe for concrete? How is it made?
Oh, good question. I thought like everyone knows how to make concrete. So basically, Portland cement concrete is composed of Portland cement, which is a gray powder mixed with water, mixed with aggregates. And aggregates usually are composed of sand, which is fine aggregate, and coarse aggregates, which is usually crushed stone or gravel. So again, everyone I know just thinking they know how to mix concrete, how to make concrete, because you have these four basic ingredients mixed together, poured into the formwork. It cures, it develops strengths, and next day you can walk on it, you can drive on it, and you can build on it. So it looks like everyone knows how to do it, but there are obviously some tricks. I didn't mention another fifth component, which is commonly present in concrete. It's also air. And we think it is just there, but it is also an important ingredient of concrete, which we engineer for to make concrete durable. So we need to consider these five basic components. But reality is, it is not anymore concrete, which we produced 70 years ago. It is, still not the same concrete as we produced 2,000 years ago. We have great developments, maybe last 30 years. Mm-hmm. And so we use other components which are making concrete stronger, more durable, and also more environmentally friendly.
It sounds a bit that through the course of history, the recipe to make concrete, not much has changed, and yet there are quite a bit of issues, including how it crumbles and other issues with concrete. You said something really interesting about adding air or carbon dioxide to concrete. What happens in that formula?
Let's divide in, you know, air is something which is introduced during making any type of concrete. It can be entrapped, which we don't control, but it can be also entrained, which we try to control. We do our best to incorporate air in the form of small bubbles. Mm-hmm. And so this makes concrete more durable and especially resistant to freezing and thawing exposures. And when you speak about incorporating carbon dioxide, this is when we inject concrete with CO2. And so we pre-carbonate it at different stages. It can be done in the stage of mixing. It can be done in the stage of curing. It can be definitely not pure CO2. It can be mixed gases, contaminated gases as well. So we can use concrete as a sponge basically to absorb those undesirable gases into concrete structure.
I'm fascinated by in your research network, you have a lot of different ways that you might tweak, as you say, a concrete. Can you explain what are the goals of this new center?
Well, first of all, we really target to develop innovative concrete materials and technologies, and with the goal to boost performance, reduce embodied carbon, reduce waste, and very important, translate these outcomes of university research into impacts for the companies for supporting center, and also develop diverse and skilled science and engineering workforce for the industry. Mm-hmm. So those are main goals and objectives. Basically transfer the university research into industrial floor, facilitate the technology transfer. And this is one of the very important goals of the center.
Constantine, I think that's such an important point to make there, like this ability to take your R&D, your research and development, and actually see it through into the industry. I mean, how much ability do researchers have to change how concrete is made and be accepted by the industry and change the practices and manufacturing of it?
Yeah, I agree. We have very good framework. I'd like to mention that this framework was tested by National Science Foundation for many other fields, and we are applying this framework, which is called Industry University Cooperative Research Centers, to concrete now. In the past, there were no any concrete related center like this, and we will be definitely the first who will focus on improving concrete and producing a considerable impact for member companies, but also for the obviously industry at large as well, because member companies will benefit from our work in first, but definitely impacts will be at larger scale.
We're talking about research underway to make concrete more sustainable with UW-Milwaukee Professor Constantine Sobolev, who directs the Concrete Advancement Network. Constantine, looking at Wisconsin where we are, how problematic is aging concrete in our state?
I think we are in the most severe environmental conditions. We have four seasons, and concrete is exposed to all the extremes. So we still have relatively hot summers, but most important, we have winters, which can be having a considerable impact on concrete, specifically freezing and thawing and exposure to the ice and salt. So we still like to see our roads clean during winter months, and we really pay attention to safety. So application of de-icers are difficult to avoid, and the icing of the roads creating very stressful conditions for normal concrete. And concrete in Florida or in Arizona would not experience such type of environmental stresses. And so we need to design concrete for such exposures. We need to design concrete which can withstand extended number of freezing and thawing cycles. And we need to design concrete which will be resistant to application of de-icers. So basically, we are at extreme here and conditions, and so we need to do our job better as engineers, as researchers. And I think this is one of the goals of the center, to develop concrete for such applications.
You and your team are looking at a special type of coating that allows concrete to repel water. Can you tell us about that type of approach?
Yes, this is a very good question. I think this is one of the development which can really change the way concrete is responding to freezing and thawing. Specifically, it is preventing moisture transport into concrete, but moisture and dissolved water and dissolved chemicals are repelled from the surface. Basically, this is what we call lotus effect. So basically, we mimic the effect of the lotus leaf, which stays clean and free of dirt and during its life. And basically, the idea is to avoid water transport to concrete material. Concrete is porous material. It has different levels of porosity and it likes water. It is composed of water as an ingredient. Water is important to make concrete, but also it is a hydrophilic material. So it likes water. It attracts it. Porous structure can easily absorb water, and unfortunately, this makes it weak, and this leads to premature failure of concrete under freezing and thawing conditions. And when we simply put a shield over the skin of concrete, it repels water. It means there is nothing really to interact and destroy concrete. And also during freezing, and also formation of ice is actually a very interesting feature on the surface of concrete. It creates zero bond between ice and concrete. So basically, a layer of ice, if formed on surface of concrete, can be easily removed during regular cleaning, road cleaning operation, or even during traffic over the ice surface. So in this way, we avoid formation of the surface cracks, formation of the scaling, which is associated with application of de-icers, but also we avoid freezing and thawing impacts on concrete. Just simple example, we applied this coating outside of our lab 10 years ago, and on freshly placed concrete, and also on concrete which is relatively old, the area which was covered by this coating after 10 years, it looks like new. It
Wow.
was under light traffic,
That's amazing. Yeah.
and around the covered area, it has it's aged. You can see etched surface of concrete. You can see that skin of concrete has already started to be removed, but the area which was covered by the coating remains perfect, and concrete looks like new. And this is definitely a relatively cheap solution which can be used at the scale and protect our bridges, our driveways, avoid early premature deterioration and cracking and spalling, etc.
Just one concern, though, with a chemical repellent, and that is deterring water. We have such concerns around forever chemicals, PFAS chemicals. This wouldn't have the same impact, right?
Well, first of all, the quantities we are using are very small, and
Okay.
those are creating a surface layer. Basically, we need monomolecular layer of this material on the surface of concrete. It is chemically bound to the concrete structure. So the chemically attached layer is really not of big concern, specifically that some of this the chemicals we are using, they used in the food industry, basically. We can discuss bad or good, but point is, if material is used, for example, for making bread, I mean, not as a component, but in the technology as a release agent, for example, I think it is safe to be applied on our roads.
Konstantin, your center is also working on a smart concrete that can sense damage or deterioration. Can you talk just a bit about these sensors?
It is a really interesting concept. And monitoring of the structures, especially large structures, is a big problem, simply because you have a large breach and send an engineer to evaluate the structure is very expensive. Actually, sending a skilled person to evaluate the conditions of the structure. Sometimes we can, of course, be smart and send a drone there, fly over and try to detect the crack, potential concrete, the corrosion of reinforcement, etc. But question is, we really live in a digital era. And for us, if we incorporate those smart properties into concrete and monitor it remotely, I think this is the best scenario. Imagine like our body can sense the problem and fix it automatically without our interaction. Obviously, I think this is something we will try to do at the scale of concrete structure. So concrete is monitoring itself constantly. And in case of any concern, it would send alarm message to the, let's say, any form of text message to the to the manager or to the monitoring center, emails to people who are involved, specifically telling that this location is concerned. We need to send engineers and repair teams to that specific location of that breach. I think this is something what we try to accomplish. We're trying to go to over this and make self-healing as well concrete. So basically, concrete can sense and react, and this would be next step to have not only detection mechanism, but also self-healing mechanism embedded. And this is like a large range of concrete, which we call smart concrete, which would be, I think, big deal in the future.
In our digital age, it seems like the next steps. Well, Konstantin, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for sharing your research.
Well, thank you. It's a great opportunity to share with you in our developments. And I think we will be happy to report more on impacts. So let's meet again. Let's discuss the progress.
And that is Konstantin Sobolov, who is a professor of civil and environmental engineering at UW-Milwaukee and is director of its Concrete Advancement Network. The new lab is backed by a $1.5 million grant from the National Science Foundation, and they're researching ways to make concrete more sustainable and higher performing.